What should churches do about COVID-19 regulations? That sticky subject is what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. We get questions from people all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. You can send in your questions through email at radio@faithalone.org. Let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. We have a kind of a tough question here, Bob. It is from Tim, and he's asking about COVID and wearing masks in light of Romans 13.
Oh, okay. 14. Obey the governing authorities. Yeah.
So he says, you know, he's from a small farming community, and this mask requirement has caused unrest in local churches. Some people have taken a hard stand against wearing masks by refusing to wear them. Others are for strongly following the governor's rules and want to restrict people from even coming to church or participating in the Lord's Supper unless they wear a mask. And he says this has put churches in a difficult position. Do we deny or restrict people from coming to church and participating, or do we risk the wrath of the government? In light of Romans 13 and 14, how can a church love and minister to people regardless of their personal convictions or choices? How do churches deal with those situations? It's a tough question. And the first thing I would say, Bob, is read the regulations, first of all.
Good point.
Because media will say, oh, this is a rule you absolutely have to obey. But the regulation actually might be something a lot softer than that. Something like, we highly recommend that you wear a mask.
Exactly.
And so you want to be clear that it's actually required or whether it's just recommended in your state.
Right. Also in Romans 14, we have the weaker brother.
Right.
And so the weaker brother would be, for example, the person who thinks that it's wrong to eat meat.
Yes.
So if you're around that person, going out of your way to eat a steak is probably not a good idea if it's going to offend them. And in the same way, if I know a fellow believer is going to be offended if I don't wear a mask, then I'm willing to give up my liberty, even if I'm free not to wear a mask, I'm willing to give that up to avoid offending them.
Right. Well, how does Romans 13 bear on this question? Basically, that's where Paul says we should submit to the governing authorities.
Okay, so we're to submit to the governing authorities, and the exception, which we find, for example, in Acts chapter 5, we must obey God rather than men, and we find it in Daniel when the government commands him not to pray.
Yeah.
And yet he prays, and also with the three men in the fiery furnace, and they're supposed to bow down to this idol, and they won't do it. So we have clear teaching in Scripture that we're not to disobey Scripture if the government commands us to do it.
Right. And so how do you think this COVID situation fits in with that? Let's say the government said, because of COVID, Christians are not allowed to meet together at all.
Right. For example, John MacArthur recently, and he has written extensively that we obey the governing authorities whether we like it or not.
Right.
But he, too, holds to this exception, and he has recently gotten in some trouble because he's told the state of California, we have a right under the First Amendment to gather as a church and to worship. They didn't, I guess, for several months, but they started meeting again.
Right.
And now I think they're being sued by the state or something, and he's countersuing, I think.
And see, that's an interesting position. That's a little subtle position because he's appealing to the governing authorities, the Constitution,
right,
against another regulation of the governing authority. So he's making two appeals to governing authorities. But let's say there was no Constitution that giving religious freedom, and the government said Christians cannot meet together because of COVID. What should the Christian do in that situation?
Well, what many have done, and I think this is a good principle, is they've met secretly.
Yeah.
You know, you have house churches or secret churches that used to meet behind the Iron Curtain. I believe there are still house churches all through China.
Sure.
And much of India, because they're not really hospitable to Christianity. I guess there are open churches in both China and India, but
right,
I tend to think they're the ones the government sanction.
Right.
And so if you want to be meeting and the government is not allowing you to meet, well, then you are to meet.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and
do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
But in answer to your question, I would say it's one thing to allow the government several months to get things straightened out.
Yeah.
It's another thing to say we're never going to meet again.
Right.
And I think John MacArthur and other pastors have come to the point where they're saying enough is enough.
Right.
We've given you 6 months or whatever. The other problem, which you've already alluded to, is there is no law to this effect. Congress did not pass a law about masks. Congress did not pass a law revoking the First Amendment.
Right.
Congress did not pass a law that says people can only meet in groups of 5 or 10. None of that came through Congress, nor did the state legislatures pass laws. None of these state legislatures that I know of have passed laws. These have been decrees coming down from the governor or decrees coming down from mayors or county commissioners. Those decrees, it seems to me, don't have the full force of law, just like some people have complained that the president has made some decrees.
Yeah.
And people say, wait a minute, the president can't make these executive orders. And of course, now we've gotten into a lot of legal confusion now we've gotten to the point where presidents can make these executive, take these executive actions, but I question whether they've ever been constitutional. But the point is, if someone makes some sort of a decree that we like, well, then we tend to get behind it. And if we don't, we tend to not. But the truth is, the law is actually, at least in the United States, determined by the three branches of government.
Well, that's federal law is.
Well, even state law, you've got a governor that's the executive branch, you've got legislature, and you've also got the judicial. So you've got all three branches at the state level, too.
Right. So we've talked about what happens if a government says no meeting whatsoever, but what happens when, and this is the case, at least in Texas, where there are, it's death by 1,000 qualifications. You can meet, but you can't meet more than 10 people or more than 20 people or more than 50 people. You can meet, but you need to wear masks and have hand sanitizers and 6 feet apart. And there's all these qualifications that make it extremely difficult to meet. What's the Christian to do there? Because now the government's not saying, hey, you can't meet. You just have to bend over backwards and do triple flip and bend yourself into a pretzel in order to meet.
Again, I would say, let's do the twisting for a reasonable length of time. So we'll take all these steps, you know, in the next 6 months, whatever.
Yeah.
But at some point, I could see people saying, wait a minute, this is not a law. There's no law passed. And we're not going to continue to do this.
Right.
You know, you and I were talking earlier. You were saying you think that things are probably going to start changing in the next few weeks or months. It may well be that we start to lessen a lot of this. Plus, a vaccine could come out in the next month or two.
So now let's talk about that weaker brother issue. So we have liberty. We have freedom. Christians are able to do things that other religions kind of forbid. Like, we're allowed eating whatever we want, basically. Not that it's all of it's profitable. That's one principle. Paul's like, there are some foods that are better for you than others. Like, if you want to eat Big Macs all day, you will get fat and probably die.
Right.
It's not really good for you. But you're, as a Christian, you're free to do that. But then he says there's this weaker brother principle. And that's in Romans 14. He says, receive one who is weak in the faith, this is verse 1, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. And who are you to judge another's servant? And then he talks with other examples of people thinking some days are important, other people not celebrating those holidays, and we're not supposed to judge each other, and we're supposed to kind of give deference to the weaker brother. But even that has its limits, right?
It does. I would say with the mask issue, I would wear a mask, like we're having a conference, and I'm going to be wearing a mask, and we're going to require that everyone wear a mask.
But now,
we're going to provide masks.
But in your day-to-day life, if you had a choice, you wouldn't wear a mask.
No.
And neither would I.
No.
And we don't wear a mask in the office. I don't believe that this is as dangerous as people say. Although I would wear a mask around, like, my grandmother.
Right. And, of course, we're more than 6 feet away. So we're maintaining distancing. And the requirements in our state are not that you have to wear a mask if you're in your office and you're separated by long distance from other people. At least as far, that's my understanding of it. But the thing about it is, when we have our conference, I'm going to observe everything.
We're doing all those things.
We're not going to allow people to even touch the coffee. We're not going to allow them to touch the snacks. We're going to hand things to people, and we're going to have masks. We're going to have 6 foot distancing. That means some of our rooms, a room that will hold 80 people, it's only going to have a maximum of 30 because they're all going to be 6 feet apart.
We're bending over backwards not only to go with the regulations of Dallas County, but also to meet with the concerns of the some conferees who are concerned about COVID.
Exactly, and we're going to have hand sanitizer out there. I don't think all that's necessary, but I'm going to do it all.
Right.
And I would be willing to do this for the next 6 months or so, but 5 or 10 years from now, if I find that there is some brother or sister that wants me to wear a mask 24/7 and wants me to wear gloves and do all these things, I'm probably going to draw the line.
Yeah.
I can give you a quick example. A friend was in a situation where he was around someone who believed that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath, which it's not, and that to do any work on Sunday was sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a neighbor that wouldn't mow his yard on Sunday, and a believing neighbor, and if you mowed your yard, if my friend mowed his yard, the neighbor would feel offended.
Mm.
And he finally decided, you know what, if I want to mow my yard on Sunday, I'm going to go ahead and do it, because in this particular case, I'm not flaunting my liberty, I'm just doing it. Mm. I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, flaunt anything. And the same way with reading a newspaper. Did you know there are some Christians that think it's sin to read a newspaper on Sunday?
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not going to do that. And so I would say, look, if you know a Christian that thinks drinking wine is wrong, I wouldn't drink wine around them.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I would stop drinking wine the rest of my life.
Sure.
Now, of course, I don't drink anything, but that's because I grew up in an alcoholic family, but I'm not offended. If I'm with someone and they want to drink wine, fine, doesn't offend me. But if I was around somebody I knew would offend them and I was a drinker, I wouldn't drink around them.
Well, a lot of good thoughts here, and we can go into this a lot more deeply, Bob, and we can't. We'll have to save that for another show. Thanks for the question, Tim. If you have questions about what we've said, send them to radio@faithalone.org. And be sure to go to our website, faithalone.org, and look up some of these questions, because we've written so many blogs about all of these issues. Can't wait to see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss whether God can have sin in His presence, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.